Thank you very much, Ken, and good morning, everyone. It's very good to be here with you today on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, as we are now beginning our traditional holiday season here in, at least in America and in Western Europe. It begins soon too, I believe. Why don't we begin by greeting one another as I play our traditional song for this period of time by Deborah Pramell and Mitten. We are awakening.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence. Rising in love, we are awakening to a long forgotten memory. Dawn is breaking, waves are coming in. Everybody here standing in wonder beneath the rain and the thunder, rising in love. Satchidananda, Om Shanti, Om Shanti, Satchidananda.
All right, thank you everyone for greeting one another. I would like to share a statement of purpose. This is one of our core values. This is our third core value. And I picked this statement of purpose today because, of course, I think it fits best with our reading and our talk today. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. So I would like to share some announcements. First of all, in October of 2018, which is now 2018 is just around the corner. Awakening Together is going to Israel on a spiritual pilgrimage. And I know some of you are already sure that you're going on this trip, but others are still considering it. So what I thought I would do is take advantage of a portion of the Sunday announcements each week to just share a little bit more about this trip so that you can determine if you feel called to go to Israel on spiritual pilgrimage. So today I will highlight one of the first places that we will visit on our pilgrimage. It's called the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives rises high over Jerusalem so that you get a bird's eye view of the ancient walled city before entering Jerusalem. This is a place where Jesus frequently spent time. Which I don't think is surprising because of the view. If I had been Jesus, I would have wanted to go and sit on the Mount of Olives too. But it was also between Bethany and Jerusalem, and he frequently stayed in Bethany with his friend Lazarus and his Lazarus' two sisters, Mary and Martha. And so when he would walk from Bethany to Jerusalem, he would cross the Mount of Olives. So this was a place where Jesus really spent a lot of time. One of the famous talks that occurred on the Mount of Olives was when Jesus was sitting there with the disciples, and he predicted the what's called the last days and the destruction of the Jewish temple. You can read about this talk in the Bible at three different places. The longest version of the talk is found at Matthew chapters 24 and 25. If somebody could just type these scriptures in the room in case somebody else wants to write them down later, that would be great. So the first place where this talk from the Mount of Olives occurs is Matthew chapters 24 and 25. The second place in the Bible where this talk occurs is Mark chapter 13. Thank you, Kathy. Mark chapter 13. And the third place where this talk occurs is Luke chapter 21. So it's interesting to read this talk in the Bible, but it's also interesting to go and read NTI's reinterpretation of those chapters. Another famous story in the Bible about the Mount of Olives is when Jesus made his way down the Mount of Olives on the back of a donkey on the day that is known as the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. This is the day when the crowds hailed him as king while waving palm leaves. It is recognized today in the Catholic Church as Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday before Easter. And we will walk down the same road that Jesus rode down on that donkey. And as we do, I will teach about the significance of NTI's reinterpretation of the triumphal entry. And it will be the beginning of a very powerful spiritual journey in the Holy Land. You can learn more about our trip to Israel by going to awakening-together.org and clicking on Retreats and Classes. The information about the Israel pilgrimage is under Retreats. The registration deposit is $200. And the price of the pilgrimage will vary depending on whether you want to share a room with someone or you want a private room, and also depending on whether you are going on the pilgrimage alone, which is a 7-day pilgrimage, or whether you're following it up with our optional 5-day trip extension, which will go into southern Israel and Jordan. But you can find out everything you need to know by going to awakening-together.org, clicking Retreats and Classes, and then looking under Retreats for information about our Israel pilgrimage. And we'll share more each week about that trip. Also, when you go to the website to check out the information about the Israel pilgrimage, you might notice a change under the Retreats and Classes menu. We have moved the information about our Retreat House fundraising campaign from underneath the Donate menu, and we've put it underneath the Retreats and Classes menu in order to give it more visibility. If you haven't looked at those pages recently, those pages about our Retreat House campaign, you might go to Retreats and Classes and click on Retreat House. You can learn there how much we've currently raised, which last time I updated it was $145,000, but we've had donations since then, so I'll need to update it again. But really what I'd like to bring your attention to is the link called Current Properties. And since we have decided that our Retreat House is going to be in La Vida, Colorado, which is south of Pueblo, all of the current properties are from La Vida. I'd especially like to bring your attention to the properties under the heading Reaching for the Stars. Again, this is on the Current Properties link. Each of the properties under Reaching for the Stars comes with a video. We showed these videos at the fall retreat. And after we did so, we raised over $5,600 for the Retreat House Fund. Each of the properties that are listed under Reaching for the Stars does have a sell price in the millions. Yet I can't help but feel that we will end up with something just that spectacular. I'm waiting to see how it will happen. But if you haven't seen those videos, if you weren't at the fall retreat, please go and check them out. Even if you did see them at the retreat, you might want to watch them again. I know I've watched them several times. So again, if you want to know how to get there and watch those videos, you go to awakening-together.org, click on Retreats and Classes, and you'll see the new link there for Retreat House. Just click on Retreat House, and then one of the links on that page will say Current Properties. Click on Current Properties, and you'll find some more humble properties at the top of that page, but then you'll find Reaching for the Stars at the bottom of that page. Four different properties, each with a video. By the way, you can still donate to the Retreat House Fund by going to the donate menu on our website, and you can also donate from the pages that are now under the Retreats and Classes menu. So two different ways to get to the donate link. Another thing I'd like to share in the interim, while we do not yet have our retreat house, you are still welcome to come here to Pueblo West on retreat. Recently, Ken and Rebecca Gibson moved to Pueblo. It's taken them kind of a year to kind of move here and get settled. Ken started last January, and now here we are in November, and everything is finally complete. They started with a rental house, and then they went into a house that they purchased, and then it was a bigger house than they had in California, so there was a purchasing of furniture, and you know, a lot going on, so it took some time. But they are now settled here in Pueblo West with two guest bedrooms, which they are willing to offer to anyone who would like to come to Pueblo West on retreat. And what I'm going to do now is just turn the mic over to Rebecca so that she can share more about this offer to come and stay in their home. Rebecca, the mic is yours.
Okay, do I have the mic? Yes, it appears I do. Thank you, Regina. In looking at this, once we bought the house and we were, I was walking around acreage, we have an acre and a quarter, a specific message came to me to share the gift that we've been given, and that was the specific message. So what Ken and I discussed and came up with in accordance with Regina and Awakening Together is the ability to offer to members and associates and friends of Awakening Together the use of our home here in Pueblo West for a temporary 3 to 5 day individual retreat that'll be focused on personal spiritual expansion and growth. So what we are able to, what you would receive coming to our home would be a place of solitude or silence, while keeping in mind this is our home, so it's not a monastery. There's quiet areas within our home or out on our property for contemplation, meditation, or sitting in silence. We have right next to the side of our house and behind designated trails for walking for miles, and then they're very close proximity to hiking. If you've ever looked at Regina's pictures, we're by the Arkansas River, so gorgeous areas for hiking. We offer spiritual counseling. Ken and I, we're both Awakening Together ministers, so spiritual counseling and discussions. And then while you're here, depending on the dates, any AT events that's taking place in the sanctuary where it's open and Ken's working in the sanctuary, sitting in, such as the Consistent Gentle Healing Group on Tuesday nights or Sunday service or any of the teachings that are broadcast through here at the time live. And for that, when you're here, we're able to accommodate dietary needs and requirements. So if you want to come and do a liquid fast, we're capable of that, or family meals. You just need to get to the Colorado Springs Airport or drive directly to our house. And as Regina said, we have two private bedrooms set up. There's a private shared bath if both bedrooms are occupied at the same time. And while we can accommodate service animals, we cannot accommodate personal pets. And two cautions, all arrangements, dates, meal styles, accommodations, transportation, must be made in advance with both Ken and I. And our contact information will be posted along with this set of information on the AT website somewhere. That's for Ken and Regina to figure out, not me. And all we ask, in lieu of our accepting payment for your sojourn to our house is that you make a nominal donation of $50 a day for a single person while you're here, or $70 a day for a couple, and that donation would be made directly to Awakening Together. Our donation is taking care of your needs and providing you a place of respite. And pretty much that's it. I'm going to turn it back over to Regina for one other critical part of this announcement that involves her. So, Regina, I'm releasing the mic.
Yeah, thank you. Well, Ken and Rebecca have already had a couple of guests, and they haven't necessarily wanted time with me. They just wanted that respite, so that is perfect. But there was another guest that came and did want time with me. So one thing that I want to say is if you are coming to Pueblo West and you want to spend some time with Regina while you're here, another thing you'll want to do before, you know, getting plane reservations or confirming those dates with Ken and Rebecca is to get on my calendar. Because if you don't get on my calendar before you come, it is possible that I would not be available to spend time with you. Also, one thing I am willing to do with people, again, as long as you get on my calendar for this, is I'm willing to take people down to La Vida for the day and spend the day with you there and let you see that area as well. I can do hiking with people either here, La Vida, or somewhere else. Just spend an hour talking with you, go out to lunch with you, whatever it is that you really feel called to do with me. But I need to know, we need to get it on my calendar, and I will reserve that time for you. So it may be, if you want to spend time with me, it's really a coordination with me and then also with Ken and Rebecca to get everything all firmed up. I also wanted to announce that our community here in Pueblo West is growing. Already we have Francine Wright, Danielle Wright, myself, and Ken and Rebecca, and Lynn Johnson living here in the area. We also have another Awakening Together minister, although we don't see much of her. Her name is Sandy. She lives here too. Jacqueline Eckert, yeah, she says, yay, now me. Jacqueline Eckert closed on a house here in Pueblo West on Friday. She now owns a home here in Pueblo West, which I am currently the caretaker of, and she will be moving here soon. We don't know exactly when yet, but within the next couple of months, I would say. So the Pueblo West community is growing, and it will be more and more fun to be able to come and visit here. So thank you very much to Ken and Rebecca for offering their house, and I look forward to seeing some of you all when you come to visit us. Now, continuing with our announcements, I just want to remind you all that Thanksgiving is this coming Thursday, and since many people travel or spend the day baking on the day before Thanksgiving, we have decided to close the sanctuary this Wednesday so that our staff and speakers are free to do whatever it is they do the day before Thanksgiving. So we will be closed this Wednesday. We'll be on our regular schedule through Tuesday night of this week. We'll close Wednesday, and then we'll reopen with our regular schedule on Sunday morning, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving, everyone. I also want to remind you all that next Sunday night is our Movie Watchers Discussion Group, and we have two movies that we're watching together this month. The first one is The Game, starring Michael Douglas, and the second one is The Man Who Knew Too Little, starring Bill Murray. Again, that's The Game, starring Michael Douglas, and we recommend you watch that one first, The Game. And then The Man Who Knew Too Little, starring Bill Murray. Watch that one second. And then together, these two movies send an important message about our perspective and how we experience the world based on our perspective. So once you watch those movies, see what messages you pick up, and then come next Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and share your comments from this month's movies with us at the Movie Watchers Discussion Group. Now, tonight is our monthly satsang, and that will be at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 p.m. Pacific. Of course, Jacqueline Eckert leads our monthly satsang by interviewing our satsang guests. And this month's guest is Amy Torres. Now, Amy Torres is a well-loved spiritual teacher, author, and retired Gestalt psychotherapist. She has helped countless people regain their lives through a process that she calls unravelization, which I think is a great word, unravelization. which is safely structuring meltdowns, temper tantrums, and nervous breakdowns for repressed and imploding adults who are desperately in need of release. The idea is that by unraveling and falling apart, we encounter new psychological terrain in which fresh realizations and breakthroughs can arise. I happen to know that Amy is, of course, a teacher of A Course in Miracles, and she is a beloved devotee of Muji. So tonight, again, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 4:30 Pacific, please come for our monthly satsang interview. I also noticed, relating to our last announcement about Movie Watchers discussion group, that Jacqueline has posted in the room that the movies are available with commentary by John Mark Stroud for free on onewhowakes.com. That is both The Game, starring Michael Douglas, and The Man Who Knew Too Little, starring Bill Murray. You can watch those movies with John Mark Stroud for free on onewhowakes.com. One last announcement. Join us tonight then for beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for a 30-minute loving consciousness meditation, a guided meditation, which will be followed by our satsang with Amy at 7:30, and then our weekly satsang with Craig Holiday will follow that at 9. So another great night here in the sanctuary. Now I want to open with an inspirational song. This song is in honor of our trip to Israel, because I spoke tonight about the Mount of Olives, and I spoke about the fact that Jesus traveled down the Mount of Olives on the back of a donkey on the day called the Triumphal Entry into Jerusalem. Well, this song is from Jesus Christ Superstar, and it's the song that focuses on that scene, and it is called Hosanna. The words are also pretty great, too, when interpreted through the right mind. So here is Hosanna, Jesus Christ Superstar.
To be quiet, we anticipate a riot. This common crowd is much too loud. Tell the mob who sing your song that they are fools and they are wrong. They are a curse. They should disperse.
Waste your breath moaning at the crowd. Nothing can be done to stop the shouting. If every tongue were still, the noise would still continue. The rocks and stones themselves would start to sing.
Hosanna, 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 Hosanna.
Sing your songs, but not for me alone. Sing out for yourselves, for you are blessed. There is not one of you who cannot win the kingdom. The slow, the suffering, the quick, the dead.
Hosanna, 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 Hosanna.
Thank you.
I love really what he's doing in that song is he's promising that everyone will awaken, even the stupid and the dead. All right, let's go into our prayer. Just a brief prayer today to say thank you for that promise that everyone will awaken, and a recognition that this is true because awakening is already here as our true self. Our task, of course, is to remove the obstacles to this love, this awakening, that is already here, already present, already ourself. And we celebrate this today. Amen. So I am going to turn the mic over now to Reverend Jay McCormick. He is going to read an excerpt from the introduction to The Experience of No Self by Bernadette Roberts. This may sound familiar to some of you all because it was recently included in a gentle healing tip. Jay, the mic is yours.
Oh, thank you, Regina. Can everybody hear me okay? Within the traditional framework, the Christian notion of loss of self is generally regarded as the transformation or loss of the ego, lower self, as it attains to the higher or true self in its union with God. Thus, there is no longer any sense of my life, but rather our life, God and self. In this abiding state, God, the still point at the center of being, is ever accessible to the contemplative gaze, a point from which the life of self arises into which it sometimes disappears. But this latter experience of loss of self is only transient. It does not constitute a permanent state. Because this was the limit of my expectations, I was all the more surprised and bewildered when many years later I came upon a permanent state in which there was no self, no higher self, true self, or anything that could be called a self. In main, I am convinced that the contemplative life is composed of two distinct and separate movements. The first movement is toward self's union with God, wherein the emphasis is on interior trials and dark nights by which the self is established in a permanent union with God, the still point and the axis of its being. In this process, we discover that self is not lost. Rather, a new self is revealed that functions from the deepest, innermost divine center. Following this movement is an interval during which this union is tested by a variety of exterior, not interior, trials, whereby this oneness is revealed in all its enduring depths of stability and toughness against all forces that would move, fragment, or disturb its center. It is, actually, the preparation for a great explosion, a quiet one, however, that ushers in another major turning point. A point is reached where the self is so completely aligned with the still point that it can no longer be moved, even after its first movements, from this center. It can no longer be tested by any force or trial, nor moved by the winds of change. And at this point, the self has obviously outworn its function. It is no longer needed or useful, and life can go on without it. The onset of this second movement is characterized by the falling away of self and coming upon that which remains when it is gone. The immediate, inevitable result is an emergence into a new dimension of knowing and being. That entails a difficult and prolonged readjustment. The reflexive mechanism of the mind, or whatever it is that allows us to be self-conscious, is cut off or permanently suspended, so the mind is ever after held in a fixed now moment out of which it cannot move in its uninterrupted gaze upon the unknown. Back to you, Regina.
Yeah, thank you very much, Jay. Karen is commenting that she liked this comment, life goes on without the self. Yeah, I've had this book on my bookshelf for probably 4 years. And it was one of those books that I tried picking up and reading. It was a gift from Ron for Christmas, and I tried picking it up and reading it when I received it, and you know, just no resonance, you know, and I ended up reading only a tiny bit, and then it went back on the shelf, and it's been sitting there collecting dust. But recently, when I took a day of personal retreat or seclusion in my own house, there was an emergence that I will call a silent emergence communication with inner spiritual intuition. Literally a conversation going on. I was the only one using words, but I understood the inner communication. And so there was a communication going on that lasted for approximately an hour and a half. And at the end of this communication, I was guided to read, and I asked the question. It's so funny. The way I asked the question is, well, who can I trust? Meaning, which book should I pick up? That is, every word of it is absolutely perfect for me. Who can I trust was the way I worded it. And I was surprised when I was guided to this book. It was a book that I'd almost forgotten that I had. And so I spent the rest of my day in seclusion reading this book. I read the very slowly, of course, the introduction and the first chapter. And I'm looking forward to my next day of seclusion when I can continue that slow contemplative reading. But the paragraphs that I shared with you here, these are the paragraphs or the sentences that I spent the most time with that day. And of course, as you know, I included them in a tip. I think they're phenomenal. Because they really describe very clearly from someone's experience, the experience of awakening, which is not one awakening, but two. A Course in Miracles and NTI have always spoken about two awakenings. In A Course in Miracles, it's called Awakening to the Real World. And then God takes his final step and there's an awakening to heaven. NTI also points to this. It uses different language, but there is an awakening to true perception. And then there is the way NTI puts it is in true perception, the world is like a banquet table. And then there's a pushing away from the banquet table, which is the second awakening. And it's interesting because not everyone speaks clearly of these two awakenings. And sometimes when you're listening to teachers, you know, sometimes it's clear which awakening they're talking about, and sometimes it's unclear which awakening they're talking about. Recently, I interviewed Ventino Massaro here, and you may have heard him. He was extremely clear in the statement that he has awakened to that first awakening, and now, you know, he has a goal in which he's using the Michael Langford materials for that second awakening, which Michael Langford calls Manonasa, the final end of the ego. And I think it's wonderful for each of us to contemplate the fact that there are two awakenings, and also to contemplate where we are in this process of awakening, to get absolute clarity. You know what it reminds me, excuse me, I need a drink for a moment. You know what it reminds me of is when I'm traveling. When I'm traveling, I like to know where I'm going and how to get there. And in order to know how to get there, I also know I have to know where I'm at. You know, because if I'm in Branson, Missouri, and I'm traveling to Jacksonville, Florida, the route I'm going to take is different than if I'm in Boston and I'm traveling to Jacksonville, right? So it's helpful to know where I'm going, but it's also helpful to know where I'm at. Because then I can see clearly the steps I need to take now to move in that direction. And as you all are aware, right now in the gentle healing tips, you are being guided to contemplate exactly that. You're being guided to contemplate what I call the four principles of God, which I'll go over in just a moment. And you're being guided to contemplate the stages of the spiritual path as they are described in NTI, which are really four stages, and then the final awakening, which is beyond the four stages. By the way, I notice Ron is asking for the name of the book, and it's good to see you again, Ron, by the way. And the book is called The Experience of No Self by Bernadette Roberts. Yeah, and Kathy apparently has been contemplating because she's got the answers written on the board, the four principles of God. Why don't we start there? So starting at the top and working our way down. The name of the book is The Experience of No Self, yeah, by Bernadette Roberts. Okay, so starting at the top and working our way down, what I call the first principle of God, and by the way, this is just the language of Regina Don Acres. I don't think you'll find this exact language anywhere else. What I call the first principle of God is what could be called the Absolute, as Kathy has named it. It's also called the Supreme. It's also called the Father. It's also called the Source. It's called Ian Sof. It's called the Tao. You know, it has many names and no names. But what I like to think of it of is as pure life awareness. Pure isness. Completely unmanifest. By the way, it's also called heaven. It's also called nirvana. When we talk about the fact that God isn't even aware of this world, the word God is placed at the first principle. Again, whenever you hear the teaching that God is not even aware of this world, at that point, the word God, which can be placed just about anywhere in the four principles, but in that statement, God is being placed at the first principle of God. The first principle of God, the Absolute, is pure, unmanifest life awareness. It is complete potentiality, yet it is prior to everything. It is primal God. And the final awakening, or the awakening to heaven, or the awakening to nirvana, or manonasa, the final awakening is awakening into that first principle of God as self, the Absolute as self, which interestingly, Bernadette calls no self. And although it sounds like there's a conflict there, when we refer to that as self, and she refers to that as no self, there is no conflict whatsoever, because what we're talking about is completely beyond description and completely beyond words, which means different descriptions and different words used. But it's the final end of the ego. Absolutely no self. No sense of I am. Nisargadatta describes it as beyond the sense of I am. No sense of self, no sense of I am. Completely unmanifest isness. That is the Absolute. Out of the first principle of God, an evolution occurred, which people often call the first creation. That evolution was what is commonly known as consciousness, although it is also called Christ. It is called the Son of God. In Kabbalah, for those of you who have studied Kabbalah, this is the vessels. What consciousness does. Consciousness is still in itself unmanifest. The second principle of God. It's still in itself unmanifest. It is still in itself potentiality. But it is a realm in which manifestation can occur. Sometimes you'll hear masters speak of the screen on which the illusion of the world is projected. Consciousness is the screen. I sometimes think of it in my little imagination of like a crystal ball, not the kind of crystal ball that you can see the future in, but the crystal ball that contains the entire universe. The entire universe is inside of this crystal ball. But the crystal ball itself, the container that allowed that universe to be manifest, is consciousness. Consciousness is also the witness of the entire created universe. Consciousness we could call the first subject. Even though you have life awareness at the first principle of God, you don't actually yet have a subject. It's awareness that has not even developed into a subject. But with consciousness, you have a subject. And because you have a subject, you now have an increased potentiality for object, the universe being the object, right? So consciousness is the subject, the pure witness. That's the second principle of God. Now, the third principle of God I call divine law. We learned about it in the code, in NTI Ephesians, in Kabbalah. It's called creationin. Divine law is the process that creates the object or the objects. It creates manifestation. You know, consciousness gives us the subject. The third principle of God gives us the object. And this divine law works miraculously. There's no creator, although it is creationine. There is no creator. It just happens through the interaction, kind of like a chemical interaction, right? To put two chemicals together, you get a chemical interaction. It just happens through the interaction of the witness with what is being witnessed. When the Course in Miracles talks about the tiny mad idea, the first idea, it is really talking about the birth of the third principle of God. And from that point forward, you have manifestation. And the fourth principle of God is the result of that third principle, which is manifestation. And really, it's more than the result of the third principle, because it's the result of the interaction between the second and third principle. Right. But the fourth principle is manifestation. So everything that we experience, everything that we can imagine, is within the fourth principle of God. You know, so when we talk about, you know, things that some of us may think are a little out there, like aliens or ghosts or heaven and hell, or, you know, anything, you know, different time dimensions, or, you know, anything at all of that would still be included in this fourth principle, which is called manifestation. So that's kind of a breakdown from the first principle of God to the fourth principle of God. Now let's break up. Let's look at the return journey. The return journey is a part of what Bernadette is talking about here in this excerpt from The Experience of No Self. And what she's talking about is when she began this return journey, she didn't know about that second awakening. Her expectations only went as far as the first awakening. So when the second awakening occurred, she says that was a surprise. But let's talk about the return trip. The return trip begins at the fourth principle of God, manifestation. The return trip begins where we see ourselves as a person in a world, in a universe. And yet something within begins our search. And the search could be a desire for truth. Yeah, Kathy says, I'm breaking up. It's hard to do. Yeah. It could begin with a desire for truth, which was my case. It could begin with a desire to get out of suffering, which I think is actually the case of the majority, or it could begin with something else. But it begins with the search. And occasionally, it even begins with a spontaneous awakening to the second principle. Someone awakens to consciousness without having gone through the first stages, and they're like, huh? And then already awake as consciousness, they have to go through those first stages. So they begin with the search. What happened to me? And they begin looking. So the search is the first thing. And this is where we are looking for something that could be truth, that could take us out of our suffering, or that could explain what the heck happened to me. But we're searching for what I call the spiritual path or the spiritual teaching that is going to be helpful to us. And during this stage, what we tend to do is we read a lot of things, we try a lot of teachings, and what's really important about this first stage is what we're looking for is an internal confirmation about what's right for us. So we're really starting to tune in to spiritual intuition, which is the voice of the second principle of God. Spiritual intuition is the voice of our truth at the second principle of God. And eventually what happens in the search is that we hit on it. It being whatever is right for us, whether that's A Course in Miracles or Muji or Adyashanti or something, Michael Langford, we hit on it. Like, this feels right. Once we hit on it, we move into the second stage, still happening at the level of manifestation, the fourth principle of God. The second stage is purification. This is really what Amy Torres talked about as her expertise. It's noticing and letting go of our false beliefs, our false thinking, our false conditioning. The way Bernadette Roberts describes this process is, she calls it the first movement, right? The purification is the first movement. She says the first movement is towards self's union with God, wherein the emphasis is on interior trials and dark nights by which the self is established in a permanent union with God. So it's characterized, or its emphasis is interior trials and dark nights. And that is certainly exactly how I experienced it. And I think this is what makes it tough for some spiritual students, is because spiritual students sometimes want to go directly to the bliss, especially if the motivation was an escape from suffering, right? Which brings a lot of people to the spiritual path. The motivation is the escape from suffering. And when the motivation is the escape from suffering, increased suffering it's not what they were looking for. And so what happens is a lot of people actually stall at the door of purification. Personally, I did not stall at the door of purification, and I feel that is because of my spiritual aspiration. My spiritual aspiration was not to be free of suffering. My spiritual aspiration was to know the truth. And I feel like that spiritual aspiration gave me the sight to understand what was occurring, so that I was willing to go through the dark nights of the soul, willing to go through the purification. So beware if your spiritual aspiration is to escape suffering, because that may cause you to stall at the door of purification, which is the second stage of movement towards God. And Lynn is asking if Pal Talk is experiencing difficulties, not from my point of view, but talking some of those of you who are listening. Okay, Jacqueline says no, she's fine. If you are experiencing challenges with Pal Talk, exit Pal Talk and come back. That can often fix it. Just go completely out of Pal Talk and come right back. So the second stage is purification. And one thing that occurs during purification is what I would call creating space. If you imagine, you know, your head for a moment, just completely full of dark clouds, and all of those dark clouds are, false thinking, false believing, conditioning, right? As you go through purification, those dark clouds start to be cleared away, and that creates space. And the sun can shine through that space. And in this case, the sun can show up as one of two things or both. It can show up as glimpses of consciousness with your true self, or it can show up as spiritual intuition. You begin to hear the right mind. Or it can show up as both. You're getting glimpses of consciousness and your knowing spiritual intuition, the right mind, instead of what was perceived as your thoughts, the wrong mind. Once you've gone through purification to the degree that you have created this space, you are ready for the third stage of the spiritual path. And this is the stage that I really call the bridge. This is where you step on the bridge and you are literally beginning the journey from the fourth principle of God, manifestation, to the second principle of God, consciousness. And the two best ways to cross over this bridge are surrender and awareness, watching awareness. And if you've read the teachings of Inner Ramana, you know the teachings of Inner Ramana says just that. The two best ways, doesn't use this language, to cross over the bridge, but the two best paths are surrender and he calls it self-inquiry, but it's awareness, watching awareness. And what Inner Ramana said to me was, as your teacher, I will recommend both. But some people have more of a devotional mindset or heart set, and also they're really tuned into that spiritual intuition, and they may choose the path of surrender to get across the bridge. Some people do not feel quite so devotional. They may not even feel like they have a real strong connection to spiritual intuition, but they're getting strong glimpses of consciousness. They can really practice awareness and awareness, and they will use that method to go over the bridge. And then I guess I'm somewhere in the middle because I use both, and that's what was recommended by my inner teacher. So surrender, awareness, watching awareness, or both are the means to travel across that bridge. And that's the third path, the third phase in the spiritual path, and that is called merging. You're beginning to leave the false self behind. You are crossing the bridge and merging with consciousness. In other words, the false self is disappearing into consciousness. And the way that she describes this is that When you are crossing this bridge, or when you reach the other side of the bridge, she says, let's see, where is it? She calls it the self's union with God. Well, I can't find it right now as I'm scanning. But what she talks about how is that what happens is the self, oh, here it is, the self sometimes disappears. Right? The self sometimes disappears, but this loss of self is only transient. It does not constitute a permanent state. So you may experience that where it seems like the ego completely disappears. You feel fully merged within consciousness, but for short periods of time, maybe during deep devotion, deep meditation, right? Maybe even just spontaneously having these experiences. And what's interesting is lots of people will have these experiences, these temporary disappearance of self, temporary disappearance of ego. Sometimes it lasts hours, days, weeks, months, but then there's a reemergence. And some people feel like they've lost something through that reemergence of the ego. Other people feel like even though the ego's reemerged, I'm awake because I had that experience. When this is just a part of crossing the bridge, right? This is one of the things that happens as we're crossing that bridge. We begin to have these deeper and deeper experiences of truth, but they're transient. She says what's happening here as we're merging with God is we're learning to live from the still point within that is God, or what we would call consciousness, the second principle. And she says this phase, just like the first phase, purification, really had a lot of interior trials and dark nights. This second phase, merging, has exterior trials. In other words, the ego is tempting us through things that are happening in our life to move our attention back towards the thinking mind to solve our problems. It wants to, as NTI puts it, regain command and control. So when we're in this merging phase, we're experiencing the internal lights of the soul. But now things are starting to, maybe in the eyes of other people, go wrong in our life or get challenging in our life, the external. And our goal is to learn to move through that with the still point, with spiritual intuition, with trust, with acceptance, with consciousness, instead of returning to the ego as our guide, as our problem solver. And then she says, when we finally master that, when we have finally fully merged, the self has fully merged with consciousness, where now we really experience ourselves as I am consciousness. All things are consciousness. All there is consciousness. We've awakened to the second principle of God, which sometimes can feel like a very fast, spontaneous awakening, but sometimes it can feel very, very gradual. In fact, sometimes you can not even notice that you crossed over that threshold because you came to that awakening in such a gradual way. But when you have fully awakened to consciousness, the second principle of God, the witness, the pureness, you are no longer moved from that still point. You are no longer moved from the knowledge of yourself as consciousness. The ego is submerged, but not dead. But it is so submerged and so weak that it has no usefulness at all anymore in your mind. It really never did. But now, just you don't need it at all. You're completely tuned in, completely plugged in. Right? This is true perception. This is when you're seeing the real world. No matter what occurs, you stay with that still point. And this is the point of readiness for the final awakening. The final awakening, which is the death of the ego. It is the awakening from the second principle of God to the first principle of God. She refers to this as a great explosion. However, in her case, it must have been a quiet one, because she says a quiet one, however. But she says it ushers another major turning point. A point is reached where the self is so completely aligned with the still point that it can no longer be moved by any force or trial. At this point, the self has obviously outworn its function. It is no longer needed or useful, and life can go on without it. The onset of the second movement is characterized by the falling away of the self. We would call that the death of the ego. And coming upon that which remains when it is gone. That is the absolute, the first principle of God. She says the immediate, inevitable result is an emergence into a new dimension of knowing. She calls it a new dimension because it's a radically different perspective to be seeing from the absolute. It's an emergence into a new dimension of knowing and being that entails a difficult and prolonged adjustment. And that really makes me think of Byron Katie. When Byron Katie talks about, you know, she wasn't really seeing form anymore. But then she realized, you know, that she needed to learn to agree, yes, that is a tree. Yes, I am a Katie, right? Right? A difficult and prolonged adjustment. She says the reflexive mechanism of mind, or whatever it is that allows us to be self-conscious, whatever it is that allows us to think I am. It doesn't have to be I am something, just I am. Whatever it is that allows us to have that sense of I am is cut off or permanently suspended. It's complete ego death. So that after that, there's just this fixed now moment and an uninterrupted gaze upon the unknown. Fixed now moment and an uninterrupted gaze upon the unknown. And this is the awakening beyond all of the spiritual path, awakening beyond true perception into nirvana, the first principle of God. the absolute. So again, the stages of the spiritual path in NTI, there are four stages. The first stage is that search, finding what resonates as the spiritual path, finding your direction, finding your map. And then the second is the purification, which is the interior trials. And again, many people get stuck at the doorway from the search to the purification because the purification is not fun. You go through a lot of darkness, a lot of crying, a lot of fear, a lot of guilt. But if you can open that door and walk through that purification, you're going to clear away some of those dark clouds in the mind, which then opens you up to glimpses of consciousness and or realization of spiritual intuition, guidance that is beyond the mind. And then you can move into the third phase of the spiritual path, which is merging. Now, when you're in merging, this doesn't necessarily mean that purification is completely done. Purification can begin to occur from time to time, but it's much easier, much simpler, right? But now you're crossing the path from the false self. You left the false self behind as a total identity. There's still some identity, but you've left it behind as a total identity. And you are crossing the bridge by merging consciousness or merging through perception or both, depending on your path. Surrender, awareness, watching awareness, or both. But there's definite merging happening. The false self is becoming less, and the true self is becoming more. And again, this, she said, is characterized by those external trials, stuff happening. And can you stay with spiritual intuition and consciousness while stuff is happening, or do you run back to the ego, the thinking mind, to solve your problems? Very important. When you learn to stay with consciousness, stay with spiritual intuition, stay with that still point, you move over to the edge of the bridge, the other edge, the other side. And when you have learned to completely stay unmoved with consciousness and or spiritual intuition, that process of merging is completed. You now experience true perception and the real world. Life is characterized by joy, love, and oneness. This can be called awake, but it is the first level of awakening. The ego is submerged. But there's one final awakening, ego death. And this is the one, up until this point, you have been able to do things, right? In purification, you were able to rest, accept, and trust, let go of false beliefs, not act on the ego voice. During merging, you were able to tune into spiritual intuition, practice awareness, watching awareness, you know, to get you to that point of the edge of the bridge. But there is nothing you can do to move you from the edge of that bridge into the first principle of God. That's why it's called God Takes the Final Step. All you do is hold steady in consciousness. You be yourself, abide as yourself, your true self. And then that final awakening happens. All you need to do when it happens is accept it, not reject it. Right? So that's the point when people say there's nothing you can do. That's the point where there is nothing you can do. So hopefully this gives us clarity, because I know lots of times there's confusion in this process, and hopefully this gives us clarity in this process, and it enables us to find where we are in this process. What is my current stage? Is it the search, purification, merging, or am I awake to consciousness and now I'm just waiting for God, abiding as myself, and waiting for God? Where are you? And then based on where you are, what is your function now? Because the function in purification is a little different than the function in merging. What is your function? What is your focus? Internal trials or standing still with external trials? Right? So that's my sharing today. The sharing of moving from the little s self to the capital S self, We have that vision. We can find where we are. We know our map and we can know what we do. And I don't see that there's anything else that we need. So what I'm going to do is play a song. The song that I'm going to play, to me, captures this vision of this progression from the fourth principle of God, manifestation, back to awakening to the absolute, that upward trend, right, to the principles of God. It's called Stairway to Heaven. By the way, there's also a beautiful rock formation that looks like stairs in La Vida, just an incredible rock formation, which they call the Devil's Staircase. But Lisa and I call it the Stairway to Heaven. So this song is also a recognition of that area where we're all going to end up with our retreat house. Right now, if you would like to donate to Awakening Together, I do want to tell you that donations are greatly appreciated. Our expenses have gone up in the last year. I'll share more about that at the member meeting in December. But as a result, donations are definitely needed. So if you'd like to donate, Ken has put the link in the room for you. I'm going to go to a shorter version of the Stairway of Heaven because of time. It's also just an instrumental version, no singing, but it's pretty powerful. It's by a violinist named David Garrett. So now we have a few minutes for someone, if there's someone who would like to share based on today's reading and based on today's talk. So if there is, please join the queue. The name of the song, that was Stairway to Heaven by his name was David Garrett. Stairway to Heaven, performed by David Garrett. Yeah, it's funny because to me, David Garrett is kind of a simple name. And when you look at him, I don't know, there's something kind of extravagant about his appearance. It's like, wow. Wow, the name doesn't seem to go with the appearance. The band, David Garrett, not the guy. Okay, thank you. Somebody knew more than me. Does anyone want to share before I move? Okay, so Ruby, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Everybody can hear me okay? I'm using my headphones. Yes, that powerful lesson. Thank you so much. My question may not be clear, but I just wanted to share it because I just feel like I have to ask this question. I wanted to have it clear. However, the question is, I am reading Corinthians 1st and 2nd over and over and over again. And I'm kind of like set on, you know, 2 Corinthians 6 and 7 and 8. Of course, 9 and 10 and 11 is good too. But I have been reading them for more than since you started them. I haven't moved on. I just wanted to know, well, I had a question. The question, first of all, the question is, I keep reading them over and over again. And I wanted to know, what phase does that seem like it's in? The experience I'm having in reading these has to do with external stuff. External stuff of, you know, stuff that comes up for me that I thought that I had already dealt with. The other thing I wanted to ask, and I'm gonna let the mic go, is that Corinthians chapter 7, it was saying, the reason for emptying the shell is to let go of the points of experience that tell you that you are what you are not. Then it went on, talked about the unworthiness, the guilt, and so on. I'm gonna let go of the mic for a little bit more clarification. I could contemplate this a little bit better, but I was just wondering if you had any comment, Regina. I'm letting go of the mic.
Yeah, Ruby, although NTI talks about all four stages, the search, the purification, the merging, and then, of course, the fourth stage, which is true perception prior to the final awakening. NTI as a whole is primarily focused on the purification stage because that's the stage I was in when it came. So NTI is really a book written to a person in the second stage of the spiritual path, purification. And then the teachings of Inner Ramana is the book that came when I entered into the merging. So the teachings of Inner Ramana is primarily written to a person in the merging stage. So hopefully that answered that particular question for you. All right, then what I will do is I'm going to play our closing song. This is a fun song that Michael Langford sent to me a few days ago. He had just discovered it. He loves this little girl. It's a little girl that sings, and he just loves her. And whenever he finds a song of hers that points to truth, he gets very excited. And this song is, again, it's sung from a teenage girl's point of view, but it's talking about how, you know, the way that people pay attention to the world now, you know, like wanting your hair to look just right or paying attention to your phone all the time, all of that is delusion. And she says in the song, ignore the world. She says, there's more than this, more than this. So it's sung from a teenager's point of view because she is a teenager, but she's talking about ignoring the world and waking up to something more than how you look every day, what's happening on your phone. It's really kind of a fun song. So the name of this closing song is So Much More Than This, and it's by Grace VanderWaal.
Sit right here, chill, lie low. Close your eyes and just let it blow. Right next to me, I hear your heartbeat beep when the dial turns up and the music starts playing. We don't realize in this society, doesn't matter how your hair looks or what they're thinking. Just what we are finding. Tap your foot and listen in. Ignore the world, let the music cave in. Scroll your phone and breathe in the air. You'll soon realize that there's something that is so much more than this. It is what he is. So much more than this. Hey. So much more than this. Cause I think I'm cool, but back when I was in school, they found it very easy to hate me. Funny how always these times are changing. Back then I'm so easy to shatter, but now in the end, it doesn't really matter. Tap your foot in, listen in, ignore the world, let the music cave in. Close your phone and breathe in the air. You'll soon realize that there's something that is so much more than this. It is what he is. So much more than this. Hey. So much more than this. It is what it is. So much more than this.
All of the talk and the talk from you won't even matter when the lights come up. All of the talk and the talk from you. Open your eyes and just wake up. Do all the things that will matter to you. Open your eyes and just wake up. Whoa, whoa. Tap your foot and listen in. Lord the world, let the music cave in. Close your phone and breathe in the air. You soon realize that there's something that is
so much more than this. It is what it is. So much more than this.
And, you know, I just want to say that there's a lyric video. Her name is Grace VanderWaal, VanderWaal. That's all one word. Notice her name is Grace. VanderWaal. The name of the song was So Much More Than This, and there's a lyric video. And I've watched that lyric video a few times, and it has deeper meaning for me each time. So when you get the chance, go watch the lyric video. And that concludes our Sunday gathering today. Thank you very much, everyone, for coming. Of course, the next thing happening is a sharing time when you have an opportunity to share. But I am turning the mic over to Ken and Rebecca for that.